قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى، ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له في حسنى، إن الله غفور شكور. صلوات الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى bless you all. To celebrate the birth anniversary of the Lady of Light, فاطمة الزهراء صلوات الله عليها. I would like to begin the discussion by talking about the importance of this concept of love in our religion. Many times, those who are born in the faith do not realize that when they grow up, they mature intellectually, there is a need from the religious point of view for them to develop themselves spiritually. You know, in Islam, we have this concept that those who are minor children, what is the status of those children from the religious point of view? What do we classify them as? And we have this ruling in Mutahhirat. One is known as Taba'iyyat. Taba'iyyat means there are certain things which depend on certain other things. And the ruling of one will apply to the other. And in that example, we have the children. So if you have a children who are minor of kafir parents, you extend the hukum of kufr to those children. So you have Muslim children grown in a Muslim environment to Muslim parents, even though they do not know, but our Sharia says you will apply the term Islam on them bittaba', because of that principle of taba'iyyat. What we don't realize, especially those of us who are born in Muslim families, that once we attain bulugh on the intellectual level, where we are able to understand and reflect on issues, we have to actually progress. We cannot still be just Muslim bittaba'. Because my parents were Muslim, so I am a Muslim. Islam expects the Muslims to move, you know, at higher levels on the intellectual, ladder. So the journey starts with the level of Islam, which is just the beginning. And the level of Islam is actually reflected by the verbal declaration. Anyone who says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," we would accept salawat. We don't have a choice but to accept that individual as a Muslim. But remember, that's not the end of the story. For that person, this is actually the beginning of a journey where Islam is just at that verbal level. So that person is a Muslim now, and that Muslim now starts reflecting on what he has accepted. What is the shahada and testimony that he has given, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? When he starts reflecting on these issues of faith and gradually gains conviction on intellectual level, then that Muslim now reaches to the level of Iman, because now he has a yaqeen. And yaqeen goes with this issue of Iman. Now that Muslim will be known as a mu'min or a mu'mina. When a mu'min or a mu'mina, you know, now that they are on a higher level, it's just still not the end. When they reflect on their aqeedah, on their beliefs, they think more about it, and they have a closer understanding of Allah and the Rasul and the Ahlul Bayt and the Quran and the basic teachings of Islam, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now comes forward. And it changes the iman of a mu'min and or a mu'mina into the form of law and hub. So the journey starts with the tongue, the verbal declaration, then reflection on the level of intellect. Once you have that yaqeen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically brings it down to the level of your heart and qalb. And that changes into love for Allah and Rasul and Ahlul Bayt and the Islamic faith in general. Salawat Allah Akbar. So the ultimate goal of this spiritual development is to inculcate this love in our hearts. If we have the true iman, Allah comes to our help. If you look at Surah, the ayat known as Ayatul Kursi, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Those who worked hard and moved from the level of Islam to iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you have taken one step towards me, now I'm going to pull you even to a higher level. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Once a person attains the level of iman and becomes a mu'min or a mu'mina, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am now your wali. And what does he do? Yukhrijuhum min al-zulamat ila al-nur. He pulls them out of zulamat. Zulamat is shadows. There are levels of shadows. From one level to another, he will pull the mu'min or a mu'mina to ila nur, towards his nur. And that is where you will see that this issue of iman, which is on the basis of yaqeen, now will change in form of the love for Allah and Rasul and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. There was a companion of our fifth Imam whose name was Abu Ubaid Ziyad al-Hazza. And once he asked Imam about this issue. And the way Imam responded to him, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam very forcefully says, Ya Ziyad, wayhak. What is the matter with you, O Ziyad? Do not you know this issue of love? هَلِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبْ. Is deen and religion other than love? So he's actually explaining that the deen is nothing but hub. So that verbal declaration, intellectual conviction has to finally reach to the point where you have this hub. And this is where, you know, Imam then referred to a couple of ayat of the Quran. I'll just go to one of them, which is from Surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. A point comes, once you have iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. He makes iman something mahbub, your beloved. You have this love for iman. And where does that iman, which now has been covered with love, where does it reside? وَبْزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. In Surah Hujurat, Allah says, then that iman, which has this form of love, Allah makes them into the zenith, a beauty and decoration for your hearts. So that iman now is taking the color of love, and it resides in the qalb of a mu'min or a mu'mina. Salawat pardon ek baar. And the Imam then ends by saying, Ad-deen hu al-hub, wal-hub hu al-deen. Deen is low and low is deen. And that is why we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet in this famous Surah Shura, ayat number 23, where he says, O Muhammad, say to your followers, La as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-muwaddata fil qurba. That I don't want anything from you in return for the hard work that I've done, except one thing, to love my family. Why? He doesn't really need that. The ajr is going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is where we see, once you reach to that level of iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you to reach to the higher levels and increase this form and the level of iman. Because the ayat later on says, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً, and whoever acquires the hasana, the good deed, or the goodness. What is that hasana? That is the mawadda of qurba, love for the Ahlul Bayt. What does Allah do? نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا. We will multiply that. We will increase that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes to our help to increase the levels of our iman and even to intensify this concept of love which is there in our hearts. Inna Allah ghafurun shakur. He is forgiving and also He is thankful. He will forgive the sins of those who have the love for Ahlul Bayt. And He is also going to thank them for loving the Ahlul Bayt of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And among those members of Ahlul Bayt, Fatima Zahra, the Lady of Light, is the central figure. She is the connecting link in this chain of Nubuwwat and Imamat. You have Nubuwwat there ending with Rasulullah. You have Imamat starting with Ali and the Imams who follow. If you're looking for that link in that chain of guidance from Nubuwwat to Imamat, that wasl, that link between Nubuwwat and Imamat is Fatima Zahra salawatullah alayha. Salawat min akbar. She is not our only daughter of the Prophet. And therefore I don't even go into this discussion whether he had one or four. Even if he had 40 daughters, nobody would be like Fatima. The greatness of Fatima is not in being daughter of the Prophet. Yes, that's an honor. The greatness of Fatima is not in being the wife of Ali or the mother of Hassan and Hussein. She has a status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is her own right. She is a ma'asuma according to the ayat of Quran. She is the hujjat according to the hadith that we have. And she is a source of guidance for the ummah in general. Let me tonight share with you just a very small part of this khutbah of Bibi Fatima on the issue of Fadak, where she begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he talks about her father. Then she talks about the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his imamat. And then before even she goes to her own issues, then she talks about the rituals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced in Islam, and what are the benefits of those rituals that we do. And she gives the list of about 20 things. Tonight, I'll only mention 10 things here, and we'll leave the other 10 for some other time. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. Because she is for us the Hujjat of Allah, she is Waliyutullah, she is the source of guidance for us. This is the message of Fatima for tonight, where she says, beginning with the issue of iman, فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِيمَانَ تَطْحِيرًا لَكُمْ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. The very foundation of faith of Islam is tawheed. And the opposite of that would be shirk. And she begins with that. That iman is there, the faith is there in order to purify you from polytheism and from shirk. And then going on to the rituals. وَالصَّلَاةُ تَنْزِيهًا لَكُمْ عَنِ الْكِبْرِ. Why has the salat been made wajib on you? She says it has been imposed on you as a duty in order to keep you away from arrogance. Quran says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحَشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. True prayers, you know, the daily prayers that we do. The true salat is the salat which prevents us from indecency, indecent acts, and from haram acts. And if it doesn't have that impact at all, it means that is just a ritual that you are doing without having this benefit of that ritual act known as Salat. And she then highlights one of the issues, that one of the things that you learn from Salat is that you stay away from arrogance, especially when we talk about the Jama'at form of Salat. And that is why there is so much emphasis that the number of sawab of the Jama'at prayer, if you have 10 people or more, is to the level which cannot even be counted by numbers. You have 2 people, then there is a number for that. If there are 3 people in Jama'at, there is a number for that. Once it reaches to 10, the numbers are not even known to the Malaika. Why is this great emphasis given in the Jama'at prayers? This is more for the social, you know, behavior. To understand that we are like one another. One might be very, you know, rich and the other poor. But in the eyes of Allah, they are all the same. One might be an Arab and other is Ajam. One is white and the other is black. All these differences are there, but in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said in many times, in the sufuf of namaz jama'at, there is no reserve sport for anyone. Parking we can have reserve sports, but not for namaz. You know, if somebody came late one day and your normal space where you sit has been occupied by somebody else, you cannot say, please move, this is my spot. This is where we are taught that when we talk about, you know, namaz jama'at, one of the main things that we learn from it is to get away from kibr. And this is the message of Bibi Fatima. Then she talks about zakat, charity in general. Az-zakat tazkiyatan lin-nafs wa nima'an fil rizq. She says there are 2 benefits that you get when you give in charity. Number one, your soul becomes purified. There is a personal benefit. And number two, she says, the more you give in charity, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase your sustenance. So there is a benefit on a spiritual level as well as on the worldly level. Then she talks about fasting. وَالصِّيَامْ تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاصِ. She says, fasting is a way of establishing sincerity in your deeds. All the actions that we do are actions that we have to do. Other than fasting, roza is something which means not doing certain things. So you cannot really show that you are doing fasting, unless you make your face very sad, which goes against the spirit of fasting. Otherwise, nobody would know you're fasting. But fasting doesn't mean doing something. It means just refraining from certain things. And because you're not doing anything, the chances of riya and showing off to others are eliminated. This is where we learn this lesson of ikhlas, you know, sincerity in whatever good deeds that we do. And the lesson, Bibi says, you know, look at your process of fasting. That will teach you how to do things qurbatan ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat bin Akbar. والحج تشديدا تشييدا للدين. She says, Hajj, this is the means of strengthening your faith. Many people go for Hajj, and some of them actually come back born again Muslims. I didn't say all. I said some. Some still come as, you know, go for a Hajj, and they are still. In Urdu, you call it Paji, yeah. You know, so the main thing is that if you really go and understand the reality of Hajj, you come back, you know, with strengthening of your iman. Similarly, when we talk about the ziyarat, it should be able to bring some change in your life, your understanding of Islam, your relationship to Allah, Rasul, and the Ahlul Bayt. Number 6, she says, wal adl tansiqan lil qulub. Why has justice and adl been emphasized in our faith? She says, this is the way of bringing the hearts closer. Amir al-Mu'minin in Nahj al-Balagha was asked about the comparison between justice and charity. And he says, which he was asked, what is better? Most people would say charity. Amir al-Mu'minin says, no. Adl is more important than charity. Because this is where you see the hearts come closer when people know that we are not being dealt with unjustly. Number 7 and 8. She says, وَطَاعَتُنَا نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ وَإِمَامَتُنَا أَمَانًا لِلْفُرْقَةِ I've combined this both. She says, obedience to us. If you obey us, this is, remember, where is she talking? In the darbar of the Khalifa, addressing Muhajirin and Ansar, just, you know, a few days after the wafat of Rasulullah, she's challenging them. وَتَاعَتُنَا نِزَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ If you obey us, there will be organization and a system in your faith. وَإِمَامَتُنَا أَمَانًا لِلْفُرْقَةِ And if you accept our imamat and leadership, then you will be protected from divisions within yourselves. And this is where we have to realize that when we follow the Ahlul Bayt, we, the Shia Isnaa Ashari community, you know, we get this inspiration of being organized and a united community because of our link and our obedience to the Ahlul Bayt. We consider them to be the Imams, and we try our best to do the ita'at on the individual and communal level to the commandments of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. In the ghaibat of the Imam of our time, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farju Sharif, this obedience and leadership is reflected at a very lower level, I would say, by maintaining our ties with the religious leadership of the Maraji of our time. Many of you probably don't even know, if you look at the many Muslim masajid, Sunni masajid in North America, where the management board, which has no training in religious studies, you know, they become the mufti for deciding religious matters. Not on the basis of the Quran and the Sunnah, but on the basis of the votes that they have on the board, or what the general, you know, membership likes or dislikes. And then you will see the chaos, because every center, then their board becomes their own mufti. Sometimes, to appreciate what we have, we probably need to look at others. The chaos and the problems that they have, we don't even know about it. Because whatever we might be, but a Shia eventually is somebody who follows in religious matters the teachings of their own qualified religious leadership in form of the Maraji of our time. Let me end with last two, where Bibi talks about some of the religious, the family issues. She says, وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وِقَايَةً مِنَ السُّخْطِ Kindness to the parents will protect you from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the ghadab and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ayat of Quran on the issue of being kind to the parents are many, many. We talked about it many times. And then she talks about relationship with the extended family. وَصِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ مَنْسَاتٌ فِي الْعُمْرِ وَمَنْمَاتٌ لِلْعَدَدِ She says, وَصِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ To maintain the ties with your relatives, to fulfill your duties towards them, will, number one, prolong your life, and number two, increase the numbers. Now, we don't know how, you know, what is the, you know, paper given to Malakul Maut about us. But even Malakul Maut doesn't know when you are going to die. Because many times, you know, the paper given to him says so and so will die at age 50. You take his soul. But if he is good to his relatives, he has done Silatul Rahim, then go to him when he is 60 years old. So 10 years has been increased. This is where the Bibi is saying that, you know, it prolongs the life, and it also increases the number, whether your family members you're talking about or they increase you in your sustenance. Salawat upon the Quran. She ends this section about the benefits of the rituals by this ayat from Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 102. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And have this consciousness of Allah the way you should have that consciousness. And do not die but as a Muslim. وَعَتِيُوا اللَّهَ فِي مَا أَمَرَكُمْ بِهِ وَنَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. And follow Allah, obey Allah in what He has commanded you, and refrain from what He has forbidden you. فَإِنَّهُ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Because verily those who truly, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His anger, are those who are true ulama. And so this is the expectation that Bibi has from us when she talks about these rituals. She is a source of guidance for us. If you look at her own life, Silatul Rahim, you know, Hadith-e-Kisa that we talk about in our events, and that connects me to the second theme of this talk. What is it? Where the father, according to the version that we have, is not feeling well, and instead of going to his own house, he goes to the house of his daughter. And this is where you see Silatul Rahim is there. Somebody comes to Rasulullah and he says, I am hungry. Rasul doesn't have anything at home. And he says, well, go to the house of Fatima. Even though she didn't have anything at that time. But this is the sila, this is the link, the relationship between the families is that, you know, there is no formality in maintaining that relationship. You don't need a call on phone to come and visit your relative. You don't need to wait for the invitation card. You know, these are the issues that we see when we talk about Silatul Rahim. And the example of Fatima Zahra is a prime example for us in this issue of Silatul Rahim. Salawat upon the Quran. You know, sometimes people ask this question that you Shias gave so much importance to Fatima Zahra. You don't talk about his other daughters. Has she been mentioned in the Quran? Well, she has not been mentioned by name. But she has definitely been mentioned in the Quran. The famous ayat that we have, known as ayat of Tathir, Surah number 33, ayat number 33. This is where the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to keep all abominations from you, O the Ahlul Bayt, and to purify you a thorough purification. This is the ayat, salawat upon the Quran. This is known as ayat Tathir, which is the ayat of purity and infallibility of the Panjatan. And it was revealed when the Prophet placed a kisa, a mantle, a blanket on himself, and a Hassan and Hussein, and Ali and Fatima. And then you have the whole story of Kisa. Now, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this story or not, you look at the Sunni Mufassireen. I'll just give you one example here from Jalaluddin Suyuti, a very prominent Mufassir of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He has a tafsir known as Ad-Durul Manthur, which is based on the Riwayi tafsir. Riwayi is a method of tafsir where you only go with the ahadith. And when he talks about this ayat, ayat Tathir, now I'll come to this later on, is actually the last sentence of that ayat. It's not the whole ayat. Ayat Tathir actually is just the last sentence in ayat number 33 of Surah 33. When Suyuti talks about it, he actually gives the narration of about seven Sahaba who talk about this ayat, and they say that this ayat was revealed regarding the Prophet and Hassan and Hussein and Ali and Fatima. There is no dispute on these numbers. For example, he gives a narration from Umm Salama, the wisest of the wives of the Prophet. And she has four narrations in that book. Then you have one narration from Aisha. Interestingly, the version that I saw on the software of tafsir that we have, she talks about the Prophet and Hassan and Hussein and Ali. I don't know why the name of Fatima is missing. Abu Sa'id Khudri, a very prominent Sahabi, there are two narrations that he gives about this ayat applying on Panjatan. Then we have Wathila bin Asqa, one narration, Anas bin Malik, one narration, Abu Himra, two narrations, where in one he says that the Prophet for 6 months, every day when he goes for Fajr prayers, before he goes to the masjid, he would stop by the door of Fatima, and he would say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-bayt, innama yuridu Allah liyudhiba ankum ar-rijs ahl al-bayt, wa yutahhirukum tathira. In another narration by Suyuti, this fellow says 8 months. Then we have Abdullah ibn Abbas, one narration from him in Suyuti's tafsir, where he says the Prophet 9 months for all five prayers every day would stop by the door of Fatima and recite this ayat at that door. So it's not that it happened only once. Rasulullah wanted to make sure to the people that this ayat is related to Fatima, her father, her husband, and her son. Salawat upon Nabi Parah. So you have Jalaluddin Suyuti with seven Sahaba or Sahabiyat with about 12 narrations. And then we have Allama Amini, who actually gives the list of 16 companions, which includes these individuals in there who have narrated this. Now, when you talk to, you know, many of the Sunni brothers and sisters about this issue, they say, you know, are you trying to pull a fast one with us on this issue? And you tell them, okay, what's the problem? He says, well, look at the context of the verse that you are talking about as ayat tathir. They say, look at the context. Verse number 28, all the way to verse number 34, are all one passage. There are different ayat in there, but they are all one passage. And all of them are addressed to the wives of the Prophet, where it says, you know, Ya Yuhan Nabi, Qul li Azwajik, this is how it's begin, 28. Later on, Nabi say to your wives. Later on, again, it says, Ya Nisa an Nabi, O wives of the Prophet. And later, after a few ayat, again, Allah says, Ya Nisa an Nabi. So they say, you look at the context. This sentence has come in context of the ayat where Allah is talking to the wives of the Prophet. So why do you relate this to Ahlul Bayt only? They don't deny that. There would be some extremists among them, people like Ikrama, may Allah, you know, send him where he's supposed to be, who was an enemy of Ali those days. He used to challenge, he says, I challenge anyone. And there's no hadith, he says, it's just his own opinion, that this ayat is only about the wives of the Prophet. But then you have so many narrations from Sunni books, all of them are Sahaba. And Sunnis believe all the Sahaba are udul. They are just and reliable. So you have so many Sahaba saying one thing, Ikrama says one thing, you know, just that's all garbage, nothing else. You go with what the majority of the Sahaba are saying. Our response to this context is actually to look at the context itself. It's the same response. You know, our Shia ulama actually highlight the difference of the context of ayat tathir and the ayats before and after it. We don't even want to go into the discussion of what is the tone of Allah when he's talking to the wives of the Prophet. He starts with rebuking them. He says, some of you just want the wealth of this dunya, then my Nabi will give you the wealth of this dunya, and then he will give you talaq. But if you want Allah in akhirah, then you'll have to live with his simple life. This is how he begins to talk to them. So even the tone doesn't fit with the concept of tathir. But let us skip the issue of tone and the theme on the side. Look at the context in the literal sense there. If you look at slide number one, can we have the first slide there? This is ayat number 28 to ayat number 34 of Surah Al-Ahzab, surah number 33 of the Quran. This is where you will see that there is one line where ayat tathir is coming in. And there basically, you know, if we go to the second slide, you will see that wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the wives, because they are all women, he is using plural feminine pronouns. All those letters, verbs or nouns ending with noon or with ha, these are all feminine form of pronouns. So we'll see from the beginning to the end, you have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the wives of the Prophet. And this is all highlighted in red color there. But then let us now go to the next slide, number three. This is where you'll see ayat tathir is there in the box. What do you see there? There are two pronouns highlighted in blue. Is it there? What is the difference between the red ones and the blue ones, other than one being for the girls and other for the boys? The blue ones are the masculine pronoun in the plural form. So you have before that all red. After that, it's red. That one line, innama yuridullah, until tathira, has two pronouns, kum, liyudhiba ankum, wa yutahhirakum. Kum is not kun. The word kun has come earlier. That's feminine. This is masculine. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? Is this the mistake there of the scribe? Or is the Shias have a different Quran? No, even the Quran printed in Saudi Arabia is the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a reason for that. And what was the reason? All the ayat before and after that sentence is about the wives of the Prophet. But this ayat is talking about a group where the majority are male, not female. There is only one lady in there. And so the language changes there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now using masculine pronouns. This was to create this differentiation between those who are mentioned before and after and those who are mentioned in this sentence, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ لِيُضْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أهل البيت ويتحركم تطهيرا صلوات من ذلك بعد One more difference that I would like to share with you, and this is the first time I read about it, was in a book of my one of my ancestors, my grandmother's grandfather. It's almost 100 years ago. Marhum Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Mehdi Sahib, he had many books in Arabic and Urdu. One of the books that he wrote was actually majalis for the Zakirin men and women to recite in their gatherings, known as Lawajul Ahzan. This was printed in his lifetime 5 times. And even now it is still in print, which is very rare for a Urdu book to, you know, survive in that way in print and still be alive in that way. And it's also a book where some of the majalis were those days, Haji Naji, the first founder of the Gujarati magazine among the Khoja Shia Isnashiris, he actually took some of the majalis and made a transliteration of that in Gujarati. So it was not translation from Urdu to Gujarati, but it was, the script was Gujarati, but the language was still Urdu. And he mentions one more difference there. And if you look at the final slide tonight, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's talking to the wives, before that ayat in the box, which is ayat of Tathir, he talks about the houses of the wives, and he uses the term buyut, plural. Later on also, after that ayat, again, when he says to the wives of the Prophet, you know, remember the ayat of Quran, which are recited in your homes. Buyut, it's in plural. But when he talks about this family, when he talks about ayat Tathir, he doesn't say, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. He doesn't say أَهْلَ الْبُيُوتِ. If he was talking about the people of the houses, including the wives, then it should have been أَهْلُ الْبُيُوتِ. He says أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. He is not talking about all the houses, including the houses of the wives of Rasulullah. He is talking about one family, one household. And the way, the shortest way to describe that group is through the name of Fatima. And this is where in Hadith Kisa you see when the question comes, who are these people under the Kisa? The answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shortest way of defining them, هم فاطمة وأبوها وبعلها وبنوها. صلوات من الأكبر. So next time you get anyone quite challenging that, just remember one thing, even if you don't know the Arabic language, especially if it's Arab, tell him to read this. Look at the pronouns before and after it, and you will see all feminine, but this one is masculine. Was there a grammar, you know, error there? No. This ayat was actually placed right there, because sometimes people say, oh, maybe, you know, this ayat was somewhere else. And it was there inserted in this place to include the wives of the Prophet. That is, you know, wrong thinking of some of our Shia people who think that way. This ayat was there because this is the only way you can show that this is exclusively for these people, and does it, you know, takes the other people out of this circle. Umm Salama, a very prominent, you know, wife of Rasulullah, very close to the Ahlul Bayt, all the way during the days of Ali to the time of Karbala, where Imam Hussain alayhi salam actually left some of the important documents with her, that when my son comes back, this is an amanat, he will take it from you. She was there. According to Sunni versions, this event took place in her house. And when she heard the Prophet saying under the Kisa, Allahumma haulai ahlu bayti, she comes there, holds one of the corners of the Kisa, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, can I enter? Can I be part of this? And the Prophet pulls the corner. He says, no, Umm Salama. But you are, wa anti ala khair. But you are on the good, you know, standing. So you are a good lady. and you will have your own status and reward. But here, it's only Fatima, her father, her husband, and the two sons, Hassan and Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam, salawat. Fatima, humare liye tahira hain. Isi ayat tathir ki bunyad par. Mutahhara hain. Dekhiye, there is a difference hota hai isme. Log kehte hain, bhai, Khuda ne to kaha hai, tamam musalmanon ko hamesha taharat mein raho. Apni taharat apne khud se karna kuch aur hota hai. Jahan Khuda kahe innama yuridullah. Jahan Khuda ne irada kiya hai. Aap ye bataiye ki agar Khuda ka irada ho to koi maane ho sakta hai? Nahi. Murid Allah hai, murad taharat ahle bait hai. Agar ye irada ho aur murid wo hai, murad ye hai, to unke darmiyan jo hai koi wahan rukawat nahi ban sakti. Duniya ne sab kuch kar diya lekin inki ismat ko nahi le sake, inki taharat ko rok nahi sake. To Fatima hamare liye usi buniyad par masooma bhi hain, hujjat e khuda bhi hain, hamare liye wasila bhi hain, hamare liye shafi bhi hain. Aaye ye duae tawassul mein hum log jahan Rasul aur Aimma se tawassul karte hain, usme bhi Fatima se bhi tawassul karte hain. Aaj aapke samne ek mashhoor maraje mein se hain Ayatullah Sayyid Muhammad Sadiq Rouhani. Ayatullah Rouhani aaye khoi ke shagirdon mein se hain. Inke website mein ittefaq se kisi khatoon ne inko question likha ki hum pregnant hai aur humne kitabon mein bahut dhoonda, koi dua hame mile ki jahan ye bachcha jo hamare pet mein hai, hamare batn mein hai, ye sahi salim bhi ho aur iman ke aitbar se bhi sahi ho. Lekin hame koi dua jo hai specially related to this issue nahi mili. Unhone jawab mein interesting likha hai. Unhone kaha hai ki hamari advice ye hai ki tum jo hai wuzu ki halat mein aise kamre mein jao apne ghar ke jahan koi aur na ho aur 530 baar ye jumla padho. Aur woh jumla kya hai? Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdi fiha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi ilmuka. Yani Khuda banda Fatima par, unke walid par, unke shohar par, unke bete par, aur woh raaz jo tumne Fatima mein poshida rakha hai us par salawat nazil kar. Kitni salawat? Itni salawat ke jiska shumar sirf tere hi ilm mein hai. Malaika ke bhi bas mein woh nahi hai shumar karna. Woh likhte hain ki ye dua padho, ye tawassul karo Fatima ke naam se, to yaqinan Khudawand alam tumhare bacche ko hifz o aman ke lihaz se, jismani aitbar se bhi aur imani aitbar se bhi sahi salim rakhega. To ye Fatima hamare liye sirf, jaise humne kaha tha aur isi jumle pe hum khatam karna chahenge, ke na sirf rasool ki beti hain, na sirf ali ki zauja hain, na sirf hasanain ki walida hain, ye rishte apne jagah pe muqaddas hain, qabil e ehtiram hai, unke liye status aur izzat hai. Lekin Fatima to Zahra khud jo hai wasila hai hamare liye, shafia hain. Us unwan se agar ikhlas se dil ke saath hum dua kare Khudawand alam ke bargah mein unke tawassul se, to yaqinan Khudawand alam hamare duaon ko qabool farmayega. Khudawand is qurbaat qabool farma, hamare gunahon ko bakhsh de, hamari taufeeqat mein izafa farma. Khudawand musalman jahan bhi hain unko hifz aman mein rakh, khususan shiyan ali ko apne hifz aman mein rakh. تکفیری افواج کی طرح تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما. امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم.